God bless you. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. We're thrilled to have you here with us to worship our Lord and to study the Word of God. And then we're going to talk about, you know, just how to have a biblical response when it comes to elections. Many of y'all going to be all in y'all's feelings and all that. I'm going to bring you back down and get your head right. Get your head back right. But we just want to get our heads right and, you know, and make sure that we're responding in a biblical fashion. And that is my heart's desire to do just that. All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 24. We're going to be looking at verses 22 to 27 as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. And looking forward to going through the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel, looking forward to that as well. And I believe God has a word for us today. And Father, we pray that we will have ears to hear that word today, that you'll remove any distractions from us, oh God, that we might be able to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And so, God, I pray for these your people here, those who are watching online. Oh, God, I pray that you would touch them as well with your word. And, Lord, don't allow anything to hinder us from hearing your word and doing your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 24, looking at verses 22 to 27. The title of this message is The Nation of Procrastination. The Nation of Procrastination. Now, I Googled the greatest nations in the world, and it listed the obvious ones, America, Canada, France, and Germany. But what shocked me was that Switzerland was listed as the number one best country to live in for the fourth year in a row. And I just say, this is not right. Switzerland isn't the greatest nation. The greatest nation is procrastination. That is the greatest nation. Procrastination is defined as the action of delaying or postponing something. And we will be introduced to someone who is going to procrastinate after hearing the truths of Christianity. And you will have to ask yourself whether you're procrastinating concerning things in your spiritual life, concerning your spiritual condition, concerning getting right with God. Oh, I tell you, this pandemic has knocked everybody off kilter concerning their spiritual walk with God. There's no one can say, well, you know, during the pandemic, I've actually grown closer to God. I don't believe that. I've talked to pastors who've all struggled. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to continue to procrastinate concerning our spiritual condition with God, concerning getting things right with God? And so this is what this message is going to be focusing on. Now, by way of background, in verses 10 through 21, we saw how Paul was brought before the Roman governor Felix. Ananias, the high priest, and the elders brought with them this hotshot lawyer named Tertullus to finally close the case on Paul. And when it was time for Paul to speak up, he didn't even have a defense attorney because he was so sure that the case against him was bogus. He answered each of the three accusations against him that left them, meaning his accusers, left them speechless. Now it's time for Felix to speak. He's heard both sides of the issue. He heard both Tertullus give his case, and he heard Paul. Now it's time for Felix to speak. Look at verses 22 and 23. But when Felix heard these things, having a more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Now, after Felix heard Paul's side, I love it how Luke, the author, puts in verse 22 how Felix had a more accurate knowledge of the way. This is probably through his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish according to verse 24. No one at this time could claim ignorance of Christianity because by this time it had grown rapidly into the thousands, perhaps even by the hundreds of thousands of people were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Surely a group this size would alert the Roman authorities of its existence. And so yes, Felix did have a more accurate knowledge of the way. And so according to verse 22, he adjourned the proceedings. The Greek word for adjourn is anabolo, and it was a legal term for dismissing a hearing. Felix could have made his decision on the case right then and there, but he knew that this could cause some unrest with the religious leaders that he was trying to impress. So he delayed by saying that he would wait until Lysias, the commander, came down. Then he will make his decision on the case. Now, this wasn't true because Claudius Lysias already told him in a letter that he thought Paul was innocent in Acts 23 and verse 29. Felix used this excuse to stall on making a decision. And let me pause right here and say that there are many people who are pausing from making a decision concerning your spiritual walk and where you are spiritually with the Lord. Many, this is a part of the procrastination that I'm going to get into later on. There's always a pausing. Okay, I'm going to start reading my Bible in January. Now, here we are, you know, towards the end of the year. You still haven't picked it up. Well, I promise I'm going to read through the New Testament by this day, or I'm going to read through a book of the Bible this day. And there's always a delay. There's always a delay in making that particular decision. Oh, it's part of the symptoms of procrastination. We're going to get more into that in a minute. So according to verse 23, Felix told the centurion to keep Paul in custody, but let him have liberty for the purpose of allowing his friends to take care of his needs. According to Acts 21 verses 8 through 14, Paul had a lot of friends in Caesarea, including Philip the evangelist. And they were allowed to visit Paul, which also shows that Felix believed that Paul was innocent as well. But he didn't want to make trouble with the religious leaders. As we can see here, Felix knew a lot about Christianity and its teachings, but knowing about a subject doesn't equate to embracing that subject. In other words, knowing about the Bible doesn't equal to embracing and accepting what it says. It's one thing to know about Jesus, but it's totally a different thing to accept him as Lord and Savior. I'm reminded of in the Gospels in Mark chapter 12 and verse 34, one of the scribes were considered experts in the law of Moses, asked Jesus, what were the two greatest commandments? After Jesus told him to love God and to love people, he responded to Jesus by saying, you have spoken well. To love God with everything within us and to love our neighbor as ourselves is more than all of the Old Testament burnt offerings and sacrifices. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Notice that he didn't say, great answer. You're in the kingdom of God because of your knowledge of God. No, no. He said, you're not far from the kingdom. Oh, on another occasion in John chapter 13 and verse 17, for you note takers, Jesus told his disciples, it is one thing to know these things, but blessed are you if you do them. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Oh, please, dear people, don't miss this, especially online. Don't miss this. In other words, we can deceive ourselves if we think that we are okay with God, because we may come here to church or especially online and hear God's word taught and even embrace the teaching, but don't obey what you hear. This is the condition of the governor Felix's heart. He had a more accurate notice, knowledge of the way, but it never moved him to embrace Christianity. Luke 12 and verse 48 is a powerful verse. He said, to whom much is given, much more will be required. And watch this. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. We will be judged by and accountable to God by how much we know about him and his word. But not only what we know about him intellectually, but how much of it that we lived out. John Maxwell talked about in one of his books, he said, as Christians, we're already educated far beyond our level of obedience. Meaning that there are people who know a whole lot about the Bible, but they don't live up to that knowledge that they know of the Bible. So he says, we are educated far beyond our level of obedience. And Felix will be judged harsher by having a more accurate knowledge of the way. What about us? We too, especially here in America, will be held accountable for the knowledge we have about God and the Bible. Nowadays, I mean, you know, it was understandable earlier on. It was very understandable. No one could, you know, go to church. We just said, okay, all right, you know, we just got to do what we got to do. No. But now churches are open. We don't have any excuse now. We don't have any excuse, not a legitimate one. And here it is. We're going to be held more accountable here in America. I mean, churches on every corner. We got TV. We got radio. We got Christians talking. America will be held more accountable for the knowledge we have about God and the Bible. And those of us who have, watch this, a more accurate knowledge of the way will be held to a higher standard. And this is why James 3:1 says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment. And so too it is with Felix. Look what it says there in verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was I was going to say part of Parliament Funkadelic with Boosilla. Okay, I'm sorry. I digress. Whenever I see Drusilla, I just think Boosilla. I just digress now. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, it is obvious that Paul left an impression on Felix because, according to this verse, some days later, Felix, this time with his wife Drusilla, sent for him and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, Drusilla was a very interesting young lady, and I say young lady because she was approximately 16 years old when she became the third wife of Felix. His first wife was the granddaughter of Mark Antony and Cleopatra. Felix and Drusilla had a son who was killed in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius on August 24th, AD 79. You've heard of Pompeii? Her son was killed in that particular eruption. And from manuscripts, it is believed that it was Drusilla who really wanted to hear more about Christianity being Jewish, like verse 24 says. So she urges her husband to meet with Paul. It is believed that Felix, struck by her renowned beauty, used a magician to lure Drusilla from her first husband, the king of Emesa, which was located in Syria. Now, I debated whether to even mention this or not. She was known for her incredible beauty, even at 16 years old. Incredible beauty. Ladies, men will go after what they want. He used some magician. I don't know what he was doing with that, to lure her away. And no doubt they were after her because of her incredible beauty. Ladies, men can get caught up, and you can use that incredible beauty that you have and your physical characteristics to lure any man away from his wife. And men, we have to be careful because of our power of persuasion with our words, and we can lure some woman away from her husband. Because women love to hear how they look. They love to hear how they're perceived. They love to hear good things about them. If you get some slick talking brother or something, I'm telling you, he can lure you. It doesn't matter who you are. And this woman, other manuscripts talked about how, you know, she knew her beauty. And how men came after her because of that. And just be very careful, because no matter how strong you think you are, men, our weakness, our kryptonite is women. It's all to it. And you can think you all that in a bag of chips. But I'm just going to tell you, you stronger than David? David was a man after God's own heart. Show me anybody else in the Bible that was said about David. David was the man. Well, you know, Pastor, we don't have to worry about that. I'm old now. David was 50 years old when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. 50. Well, I'm strong, Pastor Tony. So was Samson. See, Satan will always raise up a Delilah. He will always raise up a Bathsheba. He will always do that because he knows us. He's been at this thing for 6,000 years. He knows mankind. And it's, you know, and we have to be very, very, very careful how, ladies, how you accentuate your physical beauty. Because it can be a stumbling block. Now, I'm not saying you got to go around with a potato sack on and looking like a hot mess. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. You can't help your beauty. You can't help that. But all I'm saying is just be very careful that you don't use that power that you have. Because there's a power that women have over men. You don't use that power to lure a man away. And guys, especially for those of you who have the gift of gab, that you don't use that to flatter a woman, because a woman loves to hear how she looks. That's just all. Ladies, y'all just got it bad when it comes to that. Y'all love it. And especially, it's like you heard the heavenly choir sing. If someone says, it looks like you lost weight, it's like you went to heaven for that moment. I mean, losing weight, it's like you won the lottery. Y'all just got that bad. And man, we just don't care. So what? You okay? You not a teenager anymore. So what? You gained some LBs. So what? Like me, you got the COVID-19 pounds. Okay. So what? Hey, we don't care. You depressed. What's wrong with you? I gained all this weight and I just feeling bad. Oh. And us men, we just like, oh, we're so over that. And we don't care. We love you the way you are. We don't care. Some guys do. Some guys fool around and, you know, look like, you going to eat that? Look like you put on a couple of LBs there. That's something you never say, man. As my son would say, you're a terrible human being if you're saying stuff like that to your wife. So we just got to be careful. And Drusilla was very, very, a very beautiful woman. And she knew how to use that beauty in a negative way. Look at verse 25. Says, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Now, I want you to notice the aspects of the faith in Christ that Paul reasoned with them about. The Greek word for reason is dialegomi. It's where we get our English word dialogue from. It means a discussion, a dialogue. It wasn't a sermon. He had a discussion with them about the Christian faith. A back and forth, a give and take, a Q&A about the Christian faith. When was the last time you reasoned with someone about the Christian faith? 1 Peter 3:5 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear." And this is what Paul was doing. Felix and Drusilla asked Paul for a reason of the hope of Christianity, and he had a dialogue with them. Are you ready to do this with those around you? What if at the job that, you know, you're keeping social distancing, you got that mask on, and somebody said, "You know what, I remember before the Rona, you saying something about Christ. You tell me a little bit more about that." Are you ready to reason with them, have a back and forth? Are you ready? And so many people don't reason with people about the faith because they're afraid that they may ask something that they can't give an answer to. Just say, "You know what? Oh, hey, that was a good one. Okay, I'm going to go get that answer. We'll get back with you on, you know, tomorrow's break. You just be ready. I'm going to have that." Or do you just, I don't want to look stupid. Oh, so now it's about you and how you look. I thought it was about Christ. We're not going to know all the answers. There's 31,104 verses in the Bible, or 31,173, depending upon what version you're looking at. 1,189 chapters. You're not going to know it all. You're not going to know it all. You just keep reading, keep studying, and just, you know, and just say, "Okay, I'm going to get back with you tomorrow," and you go and get that answer and get back with them. But when was the last time you reasoned with someone? This is why we have, you know, evangelism classes. We have foundation classes. All this before the Rona. We tried to do it online, but, you know, folks fool around, you know. You know, we try. We offering this stuff. You know, you still got to take it. We offering this stuff. Every fourth Thursday of the month, you know, Colonel Mason is taking a whole group of folks, and they're just going out on the street around our neighborhood, right here, our church neighborhood, and just talking to folks. Every time they go out, they're leading folks to Christ. They're talking to atheists, Muslims, you name it, agnostics. They're talking to all kind of folks. But because they know how to talk to people about the faith, they're leading these folks to Christ all the time, praying with folks. And they're just going around the neighborhood here every fourth. Now, God's willing, November, they won't be doing it on the fourth, because folks will be filling up on turkey fourth Thursday of the month. They're going to do it on the third Thursday. And you can just go out. Just go out and just see what they're doing, see how they do it. And, you know, they're not going to like, "Oh, we got a newbie here. Let's put them out there. You know, throw them out to the wolves." No. It's going to go out. Just listen to what they're saying, you know. Pray him as they're talking. And just great thing to do. But you need to know how to dialegomi. You need to know how to dialogue with people about the Christian faith. You just need to know how to do that. Now, what aspects of Christianity did Paul reason with them about? Notice the second part of verse 25. He says, "Righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come." Now, this is the same thing Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come into the world to do in John 16 and verse 8, when he says, "And when he," referring to the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." See, Christianity is more than just some theological views and cute catchphrases, too blessed to be stressed, and all these kind of little Christianity is more than just cute catchphrases and some theological views. Christianity confronts our lives and the way we're living them. Paul probably told them what he would later tell the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, "For he," referring to God, made him, referring to Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we can't make ourselves righteous. Please don't try. I did that before earlier on in my Christian walk. I tried to make myself righteous. We're only righteous when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when we do this, he clothes us in his righteousness, according to Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Righteousness means right standing before God and right living. We can't make ourselves righteous. It is given to us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then Paul, notice, told them about the need for self-control in the Christian life. Oh my goodness. We live in a world that knows absolutely very little, if any at all, about self-control. We overindulge in almost everything, be it eating, TV, you know, whatever we're doing online. We overindulge in everything. The self-control spoken of in the Bible, I don't want you to miss this, can only be obtained by the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23. This self-control is more than human determination or willpower or positive thinking. It is a supernatural power that comes from God to empower us to do what we cannot do on our own, in our own strength, or according to our own merit. It is a supernatural power that comes from God. It's not, oh, yeah, I wish I can. Oh, I'm just confessing it. Cut it out. You can confess till you blew in the face. The power has to come from God. Not by your confessing. It's not by your, your willpower. I'm strong-willed. And, you know, when I was a kid, they always told me I was strong-willed. So I'm going to be strong-willed content. You'll fall flat on your face when you try to do anything in your own power to try to live the Christian life. You can't do it. I can't do it. We need a supernatural power. This is why Jesus said, before you go out and try to talk to this world about me, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He said, you better wait in Jerusalem until you're filled with power from on high. He said, don't try to go out there in your own strength. Those wolves out there will eat you up. But you need a supernatural power. You shall receive power. Dunamis is that Greek word. It's a dynamic power, a dynamic godly enablement that can only come from God. Can't do it in your own strength. Some of you, I just need to say this. Some of you have been trying to live Christianity in your own strength, and you wonder why you keep falling. You keep falling and you keep falling. You can't do it in your own strength. It's a reliance upon the Spirit of God to come upon you to empower you to do what you can't do on your own. Then Paul talked to them about judgment to come. Paul talked to them about the nearness of judgment. The statistics are still the same. 10 out of 10 people still die. But the problem is most people don't spend the time preparing for that judgment. We're too focused on this life instead of focusing on eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive, watch this, the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. See, here's the thing. How did Felix respond when Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come? The third part of verse 25 says Felix was afraid and answered, go away from now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Felix trembled when he heard about these things, especially the judgment to come. Why? Because hearing about judgment shocks people out of their fantasy world that they live in, that tricks them to think that they're going to live forever on this earth. That's what judgment does. It shocks us. This is why, you know, I used to dread doing funerals, because of the emotional sadness of it all. But funerals cause people to hit the brakes and say that, oh, stop this madness of a train called life and realize that you won't be here forever. And it shocks people into thinking not only will you not be here forever, but there's an accountability that comes for how you live this life here. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the scripture says. And so hearing about judgment, it shocks people out of their fantasy world. Live in a fantasy world. This world is like going down the hole of Alice in Wonderland. You go into just a tricked out madness of a world down this hole, this rabbit hole. And you got to realize that we're going to die one day. If the Lord doesn't come back in the rapture, we're going to die one day and we're going to give an account of how we lived in these bodies on this earth. And we're going to give an account of it. See, what is another trick that Satan uses when people are confronted with these things? Felix said in the last part of verse 25, go away from now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. His trick, and going back to the title, is procrastination. When people are confronted with judgment to come, they say, like Felix, go away from now, when I have a convenient time, then I will call for you. Or you think that you have time to get things right with God. The people in Chicago felt this way in 1871. They felt that they had time whether to accept Christ or not after hearing D.L. Moody preach the gospel to them. Well, on October 8th, and it lasted through October 10th, it rumored that Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern and started the Great Chicago Fire that killed over 300 people. Most of them were at the crusade. This is why 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, because you never know when death is going to come for each one of us. So we have no room to procrastinate about spiritual things, procrastinate about our walks with God, procrastinate about, and let me tell you something, and getting right with God is not always going to be convenient. When I have a convenient time, then I will call for you. It's not always going to be convenient, because getting right with God may mean moving out from somebody you're living with and y'all not married. Getting right with God may mean quitting a job that has you doing unethical things, but you want to get right with God, so you got to leave that job. See, it's not always going to be convenient getting right with God, but the rewards are eternal. The rewards are eternal. Look at verses 26 and 27 as we wrap it up. It says, meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Now, as we can see, that Felix had no appetite for spiritual things, but material ones. He would often call for Paul to talk to him, not because he was interested in the things of God, but for bribery. He was out for the money. He wanted to see if Paul would give him money to release him. And Paul said, I won't be bought. You can't buy me. And maybe Felix heard about the large amount of money that Paul brought back to Jerusalem to help the church there that was going through a famine. And he's like, oh, you got access to a few dollars. I kind of want a little bit of that too. So, Paul, come on, let's talk some more. And then he's like, he ain't even offering, you know, to give me any money. Let me call him back again. And he kept doing that. And Paul said, hey, I'm not doing it. You won't buy me. Now, however, after Felix mishandled a riot between the Jews and the Greeks in Caesarea, He was called back to Rome by Caesar himself. And the reason why he didn't get into big trouble is because of his brother Paulus, who was friends with Caesar, interceded for him. But Felix was replaced after 2 years of being on the job by Porcius Festus. Now, what happened to Drusilla? It is believed that she went on a shopping spree in Europe, where she was killed in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in Pompeii and died at the age of 21, right along with her son. Now, let me conclude with this. In this message, we saw the greatest nation in the world is procrastination. We all procrastinate in some areas, but there is one area that we cannot afford to procrastinate in, and that is when it comes to our eternal life. There is judgment to come, and the question is, are you ready for it? Are you ready to meet with God and give an account of your life here on this earth? You can get right by repenting of your sin and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you do this, he will forgive you and clothe you in his righteousness, because the Bible is clear that our righteousness is as filthy rags, meaning that there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves righteous. We have to be clothed in the Lord's righteousness. And once we do that, we will be ready for his judgment. And the Bible says that many of those, when we get before the Lord, the rewards and crowns that he's given us for our faithfulness here, that we're going to lay them down at his feet and say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise, for you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and nation of people. See, that's the way we go before God. Saying, oh God, you're worthy. And that's how you get ready. Are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready to stop procrastinating? And say, oh, you know, tomorrow, yeah, I'll get right with God. Next week, oh, I promise. We don't know around what corner death is. And this is why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow isn't promised. All we have is today, and it's time to stop fooling around with our spiritual life. Just think about it. We should be spending every moment we have here, because eternity is a long time. The Bible says our life here is but a vapor. It's here 1 minute, gone the next. You know the word vapor? The Greek word is, you know, when it's cold outside and you blow, and it just, you see that cold air come out. It just, that's how our life is. Somebody just died. They were 107. And we like, that's old. Yeah, maybe in art, but that's nothing. Our life is as a vapor. Here 1 minute, gone the next. My parents would have been celebrating their 61st anniversary yesterday. And I said, good grief. I said, that is a long time. But when you look at life and when you look at eternity, that's nothing. Are you ready to meet with God? Aren't you tired of fooling around with your spiritual walk and kind of doing this thing and having what is called, I call convenient Christianity. You practice your Christianity when it's convenient for you. Eternity is a long time, and you want to make sure that you're right with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, sharing these things with us because you love us. And dear God, I just pray, Lord, for your precious people here and online. Lord, I pray for those who need to come back to you. I pray for those who need to come to you. I pray for those who need to get right with you. And Lord, may today be the day of salvation for many today. And if that's you today, just pray this simple prayer after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.